Let me get this in here.
It's good to see you all this morning. I look like I'm having a hard time reading because I broke these glasses the other day and now they're trying to get them fixed. I had to get a new pair, but in the meantime, I have to wear these. Anybody out there? The only problem has been the reading part of... Yeah, I might be looking like, what's he doing up here? Trying to read some notes. So just so you understand what's going on. And so what we're looking at, actually on the chart that we'll be looking at for a moment. You remember looking at that chart and going through the book of Romans. We're toward the end. There's one other thing left that we have to examine based on admonitions and encouragements throughout Romans, and that would be on rewards. So we'll be looking at that, not today, but that's coming up, on rewards. And we're looking at how from beginning in Romans all the way starting out as a baby Christian, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. And you remember, we're being conformed off to the that right-handed part where you have soldier and all that stuff. Yeah, I'll be good at that bottom right, that hole, that's it. A little bit bigger. A little smaller. There you go, right there. That's good. So we know we're looking at Romans 12 through 16. And if you remember, chapter 8 is the introduction of the Holy Spirit. We said in chapter 6, we died with Christ via identification. We died to sin. And then in chapter 7, we died to the law. And then in chapter 8, we saw the Holy Spirit and not having any condemnation. We're indwelt by the Spirit, and He's the one that's conforming us to the image of Christ via the Word of God. So we're told that in Corinthians, as we look from glory to glory, we're being changed. Also, by the Word of God, we're told to be renewed in the spirit of our what? Mind. And be transformed in Romans 12, 2, by the renewing of your mind. So the Spirit uses the Word in the, I would say, probably the chief organ of transformation, according to Scripture, would be the mind. The mind. The mind is a spiritual aspect of the human, not the brain, which is biological and physical. The mind is not spiritual. So that's why we're told to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And with the mind, we understand and grow. And in 2 Timothy, look here, up on that chart, we already talked about those issues regarding these laws of or rules for growth, how they all work together, faith, and then we have love, and the Holy Spirit empowers us, the freedom and liberty we have from sin and the law through identification with Christ. We were looking at the law of expediency, to walk circumspectly, walk in a way that honors God, because these are symptoms, if I could say it that way, of growth. At the bottom of that chart, you would have, if you could get down there to the bottom of it, Andrew. Sorry, Bobby Widows. That's it. You'll see it. You'll see a little GT. That's not grand touring. That means growth, truth. And we went from milk to meat or solid food. A lot of protein, solid food that creates muscle. And we got to remember whose image we're being conformed into. And this would be the end of that image in the sense that we started out as a baby, just like Jesus grew in knowledge with people and acceptance with people and stature with people as a kid, if you remember that. And then we saw the statements made by priests, like, how can this man know so much? He's uneducated, he's unlearned, he's young. How can he gain so much insight? Well, he's the Word of God. That may explain some of it. And then as we continue to spend time in the Word, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. The Word is absolutely key and essential to spiritual growth. There's no way around it. There are many, many shortcuts available talking about the Word and books about the Word. I'm not against any of them. But the irony is that we have the Word. We actually have it ourselves. And guess who the master teacher is? The Spirit of God. You have the master teacher, you have the Word of God, and he's the one that puts everything together as I read through it. And there was the beauty of the Quran teaching, I remember, when that came out. Man, you start in Genesis. And as people are asking questions, wait, hold on, further information's coming, hold on, further. And finally you see the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. All the information necessary for that to make sense to a Jewish mind was in the Old Testament. Not only that, we said Romans 15:4, these things were written for our instruction, exhortation, so that through patience and comfort of the Scripture, we would have hope, which is joyful anticipation. I can go back in the Old Testament, as we saw. I can go back into the Old Testament, and it's a commentary on Paul's writings and on Jesus' behavior in the Gospels as well. How many times he quoted the Old Testament, and so did Paul. Because the Bible is a commentary about the Bible. So not only did God give us, we have the New Testament, the completed Word of God. I can go back and read the Old Testament to help flesh out further information in the New Testament, add another dimension to it. You wouldn't see it without the Old Testament. So how many of us are really in the book is the key question. If I really want to grow and be serious about growth, I need to study the Word of God. And I could use some tools then to help me understand culture, language, issues like that. They're very good from scholars that are out there. But I should be in the Word of God constantly. And that was what Jesus was doing.
And if you remember,
he is the Word of God. He was quoting the Word of God. It said about the disciples in the book of Acts, these were unlearned, ignorant men, but they took note of them that they spent time with who? Jesus, who's called the Word of God. And the Word of God said, oh, by the way, it's more expedient for you that I leave and go away, because if I do, I'll send another teacher, comforter, counselor. He'll be like me, and he'll be in you. There's a further dimension then of teaching that's individualized by the Spirit of God, taking the Word of God for each individual and applying it that way, in such a way, that it creates growth. And whose image are we being conformed into? The image of Christ. I can see what that looks like by reading the Gospels, especially John. Here we have the image of Christ in the Gospels. And here we have lessons of God's people failing, and God's mercy, kindness, grace, and goodness sustaining them. And by the way, is God still sustaining Israel today? Because they have a future. The secret and mystery that no one knew anything about is us sitting here today, called the church. That was not revealed till Paul said he received it through a revelation in the third heaven. So what did they know about the church before Paul? Scant, very, very little. And the little they knew, they would not have understood. And they didn't get it from the Lord directly. The things he did say was masked and hidden from them. He said this, though. I have many more things to say to you. You know what? You won't get them. In fact, you can't even understand what I'm saying to you now. Why should I tell you about future things? But when the Spirit comes, he'll take a mind, reveal it to you, show you things to come. So you can see progressive revelation, that God just piecemeals out his information, because here's the truth of the matter. There's no way we can take it all in at one fell swoop. We're going to have eternity to attempt to understand God the way God understands God. And that'll never happen, but it sure will be fun trying to know your daddy like the firstborn son does. He's deity. We're not. We'll never be deity. We'll live forever. That's not bad, but we're not deity. We're still human beings. And so God sent his son to become the last Adam, a human, to identify with us. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. in the likeness of it. Because he wanted to be touched with all the feelings of our infirmities. And every point tempted just as we were, without sin. See, he knows what we're going through. He said, I want you to come to me because I know you. I know what you're... That's why they call me the last what? Man, the last Adam. So he identified with us. Then he said to the church, the bride, I'm going to take this group of believers and identify them with me. Beyond any measure people could imagine. I'm going to have them on display in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. I'm going to have them on display. You see that seat? You don't have to look. You don't have to go there. That chart, remember the seat way up the top? We're seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's who we are. It would be a shame to not know who you are as a Christian. Or to listen to someone else's opinion about who you are opposed to the Word of God. We're seated with him. King of kings, Lord of lords, Creator God, Son of God. Now that to me is totally, completely, and utterly mind-boggling because he created us out of the what? Dust of the earth. Some dust. It came alive. So you know the first thing that Adam saw when the Lord breathed into it was his face. It had to be right there. Whoa. Who are you? I'm your creator. Wow. All this I made for you to oversee and manage it on my behalf. I gave the stars, all that. That's for you. Couldn't find a suitable helper. What did he say? Put him to sleep. Said, first time in the Bible, something wasn't good. It's not good that man should be alone. Couldn't find a suitable helper. Creates Eve out of his rib. Presents her to him. Adam says, you're flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. Same thing Christ said about the church, the book of Ephesians. That's the intimacy. Instead of one flesh, we're one spirit. So the spirit's in us, and we're in the spirit. Christ is in the spirit. Spirit's in Christ. We're in Christ. Christ is in God. We're in God, and God's in us. I don't know how you can get closer to God without being God. Who's that running around inside the Trinity? It's not deity. It's my son, my only begotten son's bride. We're close. We're real close. You're the firstborn sons, my husbandman's father. Yes, and yours as well, because you're born again. Not only are we justified, we're born again, baptized by the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. All this is what we're becoming in experience and being conformed to that image. And we get to see what it looks like as it's a grown up. If you'll notice at the bottom too, I have down there adult. And then you see those arrows, you have soldier, I have PFC. Private first class, I'll tell you. Well, you actually only start as a first class or E2. What was the first thing you were? You weren't even an E, you're just something. Show up, you're in boot camp. You get to be a private first class. And then you can move along in the top of an enlisted personnel. Not an officer, would be a master sergeant. Master sergeant would be like the guy that, if you call the master sergeant sir, he would smack you in the head. Well, maybe not literally, but he said, I work for a living. What do you mean, sir? What? The sir are officers. They don't work for a living. The guys they tell what to do work for the living, and they just tell you what to do. That, okay, whatever. I didn't know, sir. I say you learn that really fast when you get into the military, what you're allowed to call people. That's what we're being conformed into, a soldier, a master sergeant. So what are they like? We already talked about some of the laws of faith, but I want to look at one place in 2 Timothy, if I could find it with my eyeballs. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Look there with me. A few places and we'll look at it. You know, Paul's probably spent at least 17, 18 years with Timothy when he got him on a second missionary tour in 67 or AD. Paul died and it was like 17 years or so he spent with Timothy. He spent all that time with Timothy because Paul knew, I'm going to die. Okay. and you need to be able to take over. I want to pass the baton to you, Timothy, and I want you to teach faithful men to teach faithful men so they can pass the baton to teach faithful men to teach faithful men to pass. And we're supposed to be, how many years ago did this start? I think the baton got dropped a few times. And it got picked up again back, at least we could say in the Reformation part of it. Got dropped a few more times. It's still being carried on. And look what God's doing even to the uttermost parts of the earth. Huh? You think of that? Like, you gotta be. I will build my church, the gates of hell will not prevail. Not only talking about people coming in, but preserving it. No one can touch it. So anything that happens in my life and your life cannot happen apart from God's permission and direction. Wait a minute. That's what it means, I think, when you study Scripture, to be God. He's sovereign over His creation. He'll allow things to happen. He'll direct things specifically, but that's on Him. And we are taken care of and protected by God. He said this in Timothy. You'll have to excuse my reading. In chapter 2, and this is getting to the end of the area where Paul's going to use, as we're looking at growth, three metaphors. You'll see them there. The soldier, the athlete, and the farmer. I'm just going to switch them around because the major metaphor that Paul uses and is used throughout Scripture is a soldier. Why would it be a soldier? Because we're in what? We have been in a war since day one. You were born in a war. Can you imagine your mom and dad, and here you are 2 years old, and you think it's a thunderstorm? It's not. It's bombs going off. Because you're in a war. You're being constantly bombed.
I thought you said mom.
No, I thought you did too.
What'd you say?
I thought you said mom going off.
Oh no. That could be true too. I meant to say a bomb going off, not your mom. But, yeah, bombs are going off. And so now I saw on TV they have, for thunderstorms, they have earmuffs for dogs. Did anybody see that commercial? I'm like, earmuffs for dogs? Dog food in the refrigerator? I don't know if anybody's doing that. You got to have health insurance for your dog and cat and this. Dogs are getting more care than children are. It's crazy. It's insane. I've heard that. I think that can't be true, but you know, maybe it is. The state takes care of your children. That's been replaced. That state taking care of your children, you taking care of your dog and your pet. They're family members. Sorry about all that. Anyway, where was I? So the major metaphor is the soldier, because we're in a war. We're told to put on the full armor of God. Why? We don't battle against flesh and blood, but spiritual powers and principalities in high places. How are they working through the world, through our flesh, through the world? And probably at the top of the list, because we're told the protection we have and the way we can overcome in our walk the spiritual authorities and principalities and powers is through God's word. So God's word is like a sharp two-edged sword. And we have the shield of faith to protect us from the fiery darts of the wicked one, where accusations against us brought on by ourselves and others, giving us guilt trips often, and great feelings of inadequacy. Are we adequate within ourselves to be sufficient? So I shouldn't feel bad about being inadequate. I should feel good, because Paul said when I'm weak, then I'm... It's just how backwards we got it. So the world is trying hard to pretend everything is good, and God is saying clearly everything is not good. This is this present evil age we live in. It's not God's kingdom. God's kingdom is in abeyance. I like that word, KJ. It's sitting there waiting to be established once this kingdom of Satan is done away with. That's why we're called ambassadors, sojourners, strangers, aliens, because we're not of this world. Our citizenship's in heaven. It's supposed to bring great comfort. And we'll see, don't be entangled with the affairs of this life. No one that goes to war will do that. So I want to look at these three. If you read this with me in 2 Timothy 2, I feel like I'm half dead beside that. How about this? Chapter 2, 1. He's talking to Timothy. You therefore, my son, be weak in the grace that's in Christ Jesus.
Wrong version.
Just a perversion?
Yeah.
Okay. Be what?
Strong.
You realize to be strong in grace means weak in yourself? You can't have both of those. It's one or the other. If I'm strong, it's all about me. I'm weak in grace because nothing's about it. Do you realize you can't even draw a breath without the will of God? Colossians says everything is held together by his own power. You can't take a step apart from the will of God. It gives you the strength to do it. Allows blood to flow through your veins and bring oxygen to your muscles so you can lift one foot in front of the other. Yet we act like we're big shots. We're nothing. If you take all the nations of the earth and put in the balance and put here, put nothing over here, it goes like this. Because all the nations of the earth are less than nothing. Therefore, nothing weighs more than all the nations of the earth in God's esteem apart from him. Talk about less than nothing. What's a less than nothing? Well, it weighs more than all the nations of the earth. Okay, I just need to know what it isn't then. Excuse me. Is there any water products? I got allergies on top of that. What do you think?
You can't even see the page in front of you.
Oh, he got you on that one.
Thanks.
He got you on that
one. Think you're funny, Ron?
No, sir. No master sergeant.
Excuse me, pardon me. Okay, let me read this again. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me, because he was training him as a disciple. The things which you have heard from me, the things you heard from Paul were the things that Christ gave Paul via revelation when he was taken up into the third heaven and brought back down, preaching church, truth, and grace throughout that area. He goes, this is the stuff you heard from me, which I heard from the Lord, which I'm teaching you. This is not stuff from the Jews or the Pharisees or Sadducees or Herodians or the Zealots or any scribes. No, this came directly from Jesus Christ. Okay. All right, Paul, I got you. The things which you have heard from me in my presence, the presence of many witnesses, excuse me, in the presence of many witnesses, I want you to entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So he's kind of like saying it this way. I want you to teach those soldiers that you're training up. I want you to train them up. Or, i.e., give them the word of God, rightly divided. Because the word of God and the spirit of God is the one who creates new life in us. We experience new life. We create nothing but havoc and a mess. Because we are a mess. That's why you have to be strong in the grace is unmerited favor. So if I try to earn grace, guess what? I can't get it because it's unmerited. So what's that mean? You only get it because you're not worthy of it. And the more you realize you're not worthy of it, the more you can experience and walk in. Well, how do I realize I'm not worthy of it? By trying to make yourself worthy of it. It's called legalism. So you're saying I'm basically a wreck? Much more than you realize, myself included. Much more than I come boldly to the throne of grace. Boldly? Yeah. To seek help in time of need, because a humble person doesn't have to pretend to be something they're not. They know they're nothing. They can run right to, Lord, here's your big nobody that you saved. Wait till you see what I make you into. That does not yet appear what you shall be, but when you see Christ, we'll be like him, we'll see him as he is, glorified. A new glorified human body. He's a human, the last Adam. We're still human. But, whoa, there's a whole lot more coming. That's the promise. He's saying, pass this on. So he'd be passing on everything, everything in his epistles, everything that's in the New Testament would be passed on. Everything that Paul had quoted that he got from Jesus. Faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So here's the good part, right? Look at verse 3. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. It means you don't go AWOL. A good soldier, there's no complaining, no bellyaching, no bickering, no grumbling, no nonsense. There's obedience and faithfulness. So which should I repeat it? You know exactly what I'm saying. So if any of those things are in me, that I'm a soldier, maybe not as good as I should be. So the first step, as we'll see later, we'll look at Joshua a little bit. The first step in correcting the problem is the word confession. Lord, I'm a wreck. And we don't like saying that. And everybody in the world says, don't say that. Your problem is low self-esteem. If you say you're a wreck, you're going to perform poorly. You need to think more highly of yourself. Based on what criteria? It's just because you are. You are. I am. No, you're not. I am. You are. I am what? What are you saying? What are you saying? You're, look at you. Yeah. I look in the mirror. Well, not when you get old. Do it when you're young because you're prettier. What are you saying? You're special. I'm special? Yeah. What makes me special? Just being you. That's $100, please. What was that, like a counseling session? This is the nonsense. And unfortunately, some of it gets into the church and corrupts what we're trying to do, what God's trying to do. That's why he says to Paul, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So a good soldier obeys the command of the commander-in-chief. That's what he would do. So like a seasoned soldier, like one of these guys who would be a master sergeant or getting into that sergeant realm, are accustomed to being able to take orders and obey them because they understand what's going on. See, the more I understand what God is doing, the easier it is for me to say, yes, Lord, and accept my weaknesses. Do you suppose you have less weaknesses now than you did when you first got saved? Scripture says you have more. You have more of them than you realize you had, but also what you have is the ability to walk in newness of life, not in the old life. If I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill those weaknesses, desires of the flesh. Doesn't mean I don't have them. They're not taken away yet. All the weaknesses we have were not taken away. They're just under the control of the Spirit of God. And if I start walking in the flesh again, they all come back, roaring like a lion. This is what he says. I want you then to suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself with the affairs of everyday life. What's that mean? Entangles himself with the affairs of everyday life. Now I like that whole idea where we're called ambassadors and use that as an illustration that Paul does, and that we're an ambassador or travelers passing through, sojourners, foreigners, because our home is in heaven. We don't live down here. So the more I am not a citizen of here, the less my concern and interest is of what goes on down here, to fix it, to change it. Can I ask you this question as a Christian? Are we here to change the world? Here's the condition. You can't even change yourself. How am I going to change the world? Well, let's do it together. We'll have a bunch of people together that can't change ourselves. We're going to change the world. Yay! We're not here to change the world. We're called ambassadors. So what's the job and responsibility of an ambassador when they go to a foreign country? What do they do? I have a message from the king. Let me read it to you. This is what he says. Have a nice day. He's calling me home now. Beep, where'd you go? He's gone. What happened? Well, either fell over dead or the rapture. I prefer rapture or die in my sleep. I don't know about you. When they gave me the solar oil medicine for my heart, they said you got to spend 4 days in the hospital just taking pills. I said, excuse me? I just got you lay in the bed, and I took a pill every morning, and I had 70 monitors. I said, Doc, can you tell me why I got to stay here 4 days and take pills? He goes, because at any moment, your heart can stop, and if it happened while you were asleep, you'd be dead. I said, awesome, man. Just give me the pills. I'm going home. Pat didn't think that was funny. No, I was like, okay. So they're pretty nasty pills. Heart got used to it. He goes, good, we can give them to you and you can take them. Thanks, Doc. Appreciate it. But this is our future down here. We'll be called home, not called away to some pit. We'll be called home and taken out of the pit. This is a spiritual, moral pit. So Satan tries to hide all that and disguise it by giving us all the glitter and pat each other on the back. The glitter attracts our flesh, and it's extremely powerful, so powerful, one for the Spirit of God that works within us to help resist these things by faith. We'd be totally overcome and overwhelmed with them, and we'd just be like Adam and Eve in the garden, hiding, blame shifting, we're a victim, covering up, and making excuses. And vehemently pursuing evil, that'll happen in the tribulation. So he said this, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service. You realize we're all in active service? I hope nobody's AWOL. You're without leave. You're absent without leave.
Shit. He said he's in the reserve.
We have the reserve. Let me see if we cross that. There are no reserves. This is full-time soldier. That's good, buddy. Good day, buddy. No soldier in active service entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Why? So that he may please. Oh, because you're in active service, you don't have time to be in fear. You remember in the military, they would tell us, if you're in there, here's your bunk, here's your clothes, here's your food, here's where you do this, here's where you come for training, here's where... Your sleep, this is where you go. If you want to go bowling, you can do it at these hours. You can do this. You can, and that's it. And you go to bed, and you'll be up 5 in the morning. We're going to go do this. You run around circles pretending that there's a war. Okay? So everything was taken care of. It's not socialism or communism. But the Lord says, you have all things that pertain to life and godliness. You have living water. You have living bread, your clothing is righteousness, and you have a home in heaven. All your needs are taken care of. And if he wants you to do ministry, you may or may not need a spouse. You'll need money and clothing, literally. You get that. You'll need food, money, clothing, and you'll have to be able to have an opportunity to serve. And God will provide that as well. So if he wants you down here. If he doesn't want you down here, he said, you will die, and I'm going to take you home, and everything is there waiting for you. Wow. Paul said to live as Christ, that we talked, to die is gain. He goes, I'm torn between two mindsets. One stayed out. It's far better to die and be with the Lord. However, I guess he wants to use me down here, so we'll stay around a little bit longer. That would be true of us, every one of us in this room. Has impact on people's lives in this world. And here's the thing you don't know. You have no idea of the impact you're having on someone else's life will have an impact that blows you away later on. Just like, which was it? One of those guys' moms? Was it Booty? I can't remember the story. She would stay home a lot and take care of her son. And people chastise her for that. And look what he became. See, God's doing more than one thing at once, so we don't know how he's using you. But he is. If you're alive, if you're breathing, he's going to use you in ministry. That's why he said, however, you don't get entangled with the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who, like, enlisted him. I never remember. Yes, you were enlisted. When did I get enlisted as a soldier? The day you got saved. I gave you new life. Oh, and by the way, the day you got saved, you also died to sin and the law. So I could free you from that in order for you to be a soldier. However, you also need to eat the right food, study, know how to do soldiering that I want you to do. Where that come from? So Paul said this. Now he uses these three metaphors. We've got a few minutes to start on them anyway. Also, what do you mean also? look at verse 5. If anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. There's a prize, yeah. So the prize that the soldier would get would be, I'm not going to use the word booty, I just did. Spoils of war, right? The athlete gets some kind of recognition, a prize that says he came in first, second, third place, whatever the case may be. But it says he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. That means he has to be doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Who gets the first dib at the fruit of the Spirit in my life to sustain me? And if in my life there's that fruit, and like Jesus said, out of your innermost being would flow rivers of living water, that would be to replenish the thirst of those in the wilderness. Hey, here's a well of water, and they're looking at you as a well of living water to quench their thirst for righteousness, which they don't have, trying so hard to achieve, but always coming up short. You'd think after one time you'd realize it's not working. Then he goes on, hardworking farmer, he ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Now I like what he said at the end, consider, or reflect, I think the NIV has, lay it to heart. Consider what I say. For the Lord will give you understanding in everything. The consider reminds you of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man walking out of counsel and God says, his delights in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates what? Day and night, reflecting on this is the living food and bread that sustains us through all trials and tribulation. And God's going to test us. I'm going to bring stuff on you don't want, but I know what I'm doing better than you do. I know what's best for you in the training process, like an athlete. We got to look at the different qualities then. We start, right? Anybody going anywhere? No. Okay, look at here. Reflect on what I'm saying. The first one, I'm going to turn them around and go with the farmer first because of the, we're going to look at the soldier for a while later as we get there. So look at the farmer with me. He mentions him as the hardworking farmer. So the farmer, he illustrates a quality that must be within us. And that would be patience. Patience. Let me read a few things. Patience for the fruit to be produced. Anybody in here ever did any farming? Okay. I was forced into farm work by my neighbor when I was a kid. And we had like 20-some acres of area around the house we lived. So in front of our house were all apple orchards. On the right side were blueberries and other stuff going on. Behind our house and on the other side were all peaches. Down the road there were cherries and pears. So if I was hungry, I'd just walk outside in the summer and just walk up and down. I mean, I had a healthy diet. And then There were tomatoes, and the Aunt Minnie was her name, but she had asparagus, and the season would go on. We start with asparagus, and we keep working our way. There'd be peppers, hot peppers, sweet peppers, bell peppers, peppers, all kinds of tomatoes, and we just keep going down until finally in October, you harvest the sweet potatoes and white potatoes. And that went through the whole, and then they take this stuff to these places where they'd sell them to grocery stores in Philadelphia, New York, wherever. They come and bid on their product. It's pretty cool. I can't remember. There's a name for that place, but old age, it starts to slip your mind. We'd get up and we'd be hoeing ground and stuff and moving irrigation pipes around. I'm thinking, what are we doing? What's going on? There's nothing growing. Sometimes they plant little tiny plants, but sometimes it'd be seeds. There's nothing growing, but you would go out there all the time caring for what was in the ground. There had to be patient and wait and wait until harvest time before this stuff could be taken up and sold. That's what, this is what the word means, patient. And for James, he said it this way. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient, stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. The word patience in the application Paul uses, it means a long temper. A long temper. The heck is that? So the idea is to set a timer on one's temper for a long run. Think long. Okay. Focus on the final lap of the race of life. Have a long fuse. Look ahead to the Lord's coming. The essence of patience is furthermore seen in the farmer who waits patiently for the needed rains and the ultimate valuable, precious crop. So let me ask you, according to Jesus, who's the crop or what's the crop? The fields are already what? Ripe unto harvest. That means there's somebody there sowing earlier. And then we're told to go out, pray the Lord of the harvest. He send out farmers, laborers. The patience we need is working with people that we're trying to see come to the Lord as the Savior and grow spiritually. In both cases, to grow and to get saved and to grow. Patience. One of our biggest weaknesses, and Paul's mentioning, to be an effective soldier and minister, you lack patience. You and I are impatient. We want everything now. Who do you think you are? Who do we think we are to make demands on God to have things our way and on our timing? It's called arrogance. That's not how I am. Yes, you are. Now you're in denial. Oh, well, I'm not denial. You're denying your denial, which is double denial. What's that? Is that denial squared? I know they have a name for that. Then you cover up and make up stories about why you aren't the way you are. That's what we do all the time. Or the temptation to hope it's not all the time. This is what the think long, being impatient with people, means you're giving up on them. Don't become weary and well-doing, for in due season you'll what? Reap if you don't faint or give up. Patience. Well, let me see. Isn't patience the fruit of the Spirit? I'm impatient. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I know some of you wouldn't be going. So I tell the Lord, I don't want to be like this anymore. And he doesn't say it like this. He says, zip it. Since when did you become God? My bad. Okay. Lord. All right, give me the strength then to endure. So endure hardship as a good soldier? Good soul doesn't pray for the removal of hardship. That would be victory over the war, but the war's not over. I like what he said. The farmer then, He says, the application's clear. Just like the farmer, every believer should be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. That's when the war will end. And then it says, the Lord's return should stimulate every believer to patience and persistence. Okay? Because we're trying to harvest a crop. We're trying to reach people with the gospel who are difficult to reach. Overseas, that would be because in a tribal area, because of language and culture, and you got to go through all that. Health issues, and how about the environment you're living in? That can be extremely difficult. How about here? What's the problem here? People are anesthetized by the so-called gospel talk. There's so many voices speaking the name of Jesus. Who is he, really? So you have to wade through all the theological baggage to get to the clarity of the gospel of grace. Well, you're not going to have that problem like that in a tribal area. They're not infected with all that carnage, most places, yet. Satan's working hard. Do I have time for one? No, we're done, right? So, one more. I'll just read this last verse and we'll stop. Colossians, rather, two of them. Be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience. Ready for this? And long suffering. Seems like they always go together. But throw this in with joyfulness. So the joyfulness comes from the Holy Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is patience and joy. And you know what Nehemiah said? The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy is not found in circumstance. It's found in a person. And then 1 Timothy said this. But you, O man of God, flee these things. He's talking about useful lusts. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Patience is it's way up there. That's one of the top ones when he's talking about being a good soldier, as we'll see, or mature Christian. So a mature Christian is identified in behavior by having a long temper and patience. You don't see mature Christians jumping up and down, freaking out over everything that goes on. And that's one of the elders that has to be a requirement of an elder. You can take a lot of hits, a lot of beatings, a lot of misunderstanding, and guess what? You know who you are, and you know who you're trusting, and God gives you, through his Spirit, joy in service. Who do we serve? We don't serve man, we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and patience and joyfulness. How do you stop a person like that? Well, I can stop you, I'll shoot him. Good. You sent him home. Thank you, the Lord was done with him. Wow. You can't stop him. You're unstoppable. Perfect? No. No, you know, all the weakness we have, they're all just sitting there like this. Give me a shot at him. Stop walking in the Spirit just for a minute. Please, stop it. Let me have control of that body again. I want control of that human body. I want to speak my words, not God's words. Well, we'll have to stop. We'll stop here and look at the second one. We'll finish this in 6 months. No problem. We only have a...
No.
I don't know. The rapture. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you. Thank you a million times. We thank you that we have your word in our language with all the helps that can give us clarity on not only understanding better what they mean, the culture, the time that these things were written. And Father, the influence we have on the lives of others, I pray that you would use us mightily in this way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay.